It's time for Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Gen Solar, the Fairbanks leader in sustainable, reliable energy solutions. And now, Building Alaska.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. My name is Jesse. Guys, with me, I have Josh Church. He's been on the show for the last several weekends, and what we've been talking about has been very crucial to understand as locals. And for those who are tuning in out of state, it's good to know what's happening in Alaska. A lot of people think that we live in frozen igloos, that we ride moose to work all day. I ride a bear. I like to go with the classier, more luxury style. We got, you know, fur and... Anyway, so it's really nice to know what's happening around the U.S., but in Alaska, there's so much that's happening. There's not enough time to talk about it. Every single time that we have one of these shows, 30 minutes is not enough. It's not enough. So, you know, with me, I have Josh Church. He does a really good job at giving us all the information that we could possibly need and want to help understand and dial in on what's happening. So right now, guys, this show is going to be a little bit specific on what's happening in the state of Alaska when it comes to land sales, you know, tax structure. There's so many projects that are happening around the state. There are some big moves that Alaska's trying to make. Josh, you know a lot about that, and I want to pick your brain about what's happening, what big projects are happening, what obstacles are in the way, what hurdles are going to be slowing us down, and what's to come in here in the next few years.
Yeah, I really appreciate you dispelling some of the myths about Alaska, you know, that everybody rides a moose. Obviously, you know, you've got a brown bear you ride. One of the myths I'd like to dispel, everybody thinks we live in igloos and that's really rough. But most people don't realize, like my house, my igloo has a full basement under there, you know, so it's a lot bigger than it looks.
That's awesome.
On a serious note, though, so Alaska has almost too much to list here for this short episode. You'll have to get Seth on later to come back and list some more. But, you know, Senator Sullivan was just talking about how they're bringing $7 billion of infrastructure development to J-Bear, based down in Anchorage, Alaska. And that's supposed to be 4,000 jobs. The gas line, which is on the cusp, if the legislature cannot screw up the tax structure, on the cusp of being approved, that could add 10,000 jobs.
That's so good.
Could be somewhere between $40 to $70 billion in direct investment. And then you have the secondary and tertiary effects of that. Then you have the Ambler Road project. That's a 200-mile road that they've got permitted and approved. And there's like a dozen or so different mining sites along that way that are could be huge. I mean, we're talking about a bigger impact than Kinross, which has been just a huge impact for Alaska. There's the Willow project, which is coming online. We just sold a record number of land sales across the state, more than we have in years. The federal government just transferred over 1 million acres back to the state. So now that's under state management along the Dalton Highway. They're going to be putting in the new OOC out at Eielson Air Force Base. The Iron Dome project, which is a missile defense, that's getting a huge amount of infrastructure funding that's flowing towards the state. Anchorage is going to home port two icebreakers, so they're going to be building repair facilities for those. The list just goes on and on. There's, you know, when Mayor Sullivan, he's running for governor with me, when he was mayor, he got $200 million, the largest grant ever in the city's history, put for the home port to remodel the port of Anchorage, which is so critical because if that port were to fail, Alaskans would be in dire straits with the shipping since we don't have a railroad from the, you know, United States up to here. So the Port of Nome is on the track to be happening, where a deep sea port. So there's a huge list of things that are in the works right now, which has the potential to be just an economic boom for the state if we can, you know, not screw it up. And one of the problems is, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to let perfection be the enemy of good. You know, sometimes you just have to get a plan going and move forward. Endless delays can kill a project that is sustainable. The gas line, for example, is so crucial. If we get cheap energy, I've been talking to an investor. He came up here, met with me and a few others, and we went and toured, and they looked at different businesses they might buy. Well, he texted me not that long ago, hey, if you guys get cheap energy, maybe we bring some robotics up and we start doing some manufacturing up there because you have the cold climate, which is good for the servers and stuff like that. There's also AI farms that are looking at it. There's a lot of follow-on projects that could happen if the cost of energy was brought down. And sometimes we're our own worst enemy. And so a good example of that is with this pipeline, for example. The traditional structure up here is property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, property taxes are a fixed amount, and if you have a massive amount of land, that bill could be really, really high. We are getting nothing for that land right now.
That's true.
So any tax on it is a benefit. Right now, the gas lane has said, if you tax us at the current rate for how residential and commercial properties are taxed, we can't afford to do it. That project won't pencil out. So instead, they want to be taxed on the volume that flows through the pipeline. Makes sense to me. And hey, I'd rather have some tax on that land or that volume that flows through than keep saying, no, you have to pay this higher tax and then none of those jobs happen and that energy doesn't happen. And we see the same thing in land sales. So we should be selling a lot more land. Part of the reason Alaska exists today, part of the reason Oregon, you know, you lived in Oregon. Why did the Oregon Trail happen? What happened to prompt that? They did the Homesteader Act and they said, there's 160 acres. You can go put your name on it and get some land, right? You gave people the opportunity and people packed up their homes and moved. Well, we're complaining about school closures and high cost of living. Why are we've got the state of Alaska has millions of acres of land, and some of it isn't in the middle of nowhere. There's next to my some land that I own next to my home. There's state property, a 10-acre lot next to my lot. There's a couple of miles down the road. There's University of Alaska, empty lots next to these houses. What are we doing? The university should be selling those lands so they can get, and they should be selling them below market value, right? Not at. And people say, well, that's crazy. If you hold it and nobody's paying taxes on it, it's not developing it.
True.
There's no economic benefit. You're just holding it for someday in the future. If you sold it at 80% the cost and you got somebody to build on it, now you have revenue reoccurring right now and you can take that 80% of the value and go invest it in the market or something else. So there is a huge value that is like locked up that we're not utilizing. And people say, well, there's good, smart people managing it. I'm sure that they're doing the best they can. But if you look at the state of Alaska land sales process, they identify land for sale. Then they have an auction. If the land doesn't sell in October in the auction, it goes to what's called over-the-counter sales. So it's put there on the shelf and anybody can walk up and buy it. Because most of the rest of the land, you can't just walk up and say, here's a lot, I want to buy it, right? Which I don't know why we don't have millions of acres identified, you know, with parcels where you can just walk up and buy. For example, that 10 acres next to my house, I couldn't walk up and tell all the state of Alaska I'd like to pay market value for that. No, if I wanted that piece of property, I had to go ask them to put it up for sale. Then they would send out a public announcement that they were going to sell that, thereby enticing my neighbors or other developers to come in and buy. So here I have a piece of property that I don't want anybody else to own. It's nice empty woods next to me. I wouldn't mind buying it. Maybe I'll put a shed on it or just want to own the property. But I can't just go make an offer of it because they haven't put it on the MLS. They haven't set a price. Instead, I have to ask them to go notify competition. And so maybe it sells at a price I can't afford. And now I have a property developed that I didn't want developed, right? So the system favors inaction. So instead, I don't ask them to sell it because I just hope that nobody ever does anything with it and then it stays vacant, right? And so once a property fails to sell at the auction at the state level, it moves to the over-counter and they start it out above the price it failed to sell at. They raise the price. So the system is designed to conserve land, not to sell land. Versus back in the day, when the Oregon Trail and stuff were happening, we had homesteader acts. We were giving land away. Now, people will point out they do that here in the state of Alaska, and they do. But the process, again, I've went in with multiple times with people to go look at land that was for – and, you know, if you had a – I remember one lot, we drove – I think it was 12 miles on a four-wheeler where there was not really a trail. Technically, maybe there was a trail on top of that ridgeline, but we were not sure we could ever make it in there again. And we found a nice piece of property out there, but it just wasn't accessible, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a difference between, you know, offering something that really nobody's going to buy, but you can say you offered it, and doing an assessment and saying, oh, well, actually, if we offered these tracks, they would sell, right? And so the system needs to be reformed a little bit, both the tax structure for this gas line and the land sales. We need to make it where it's practical, where we're enticing people and we're saying, look, you want to buy and move to Alaska? We'll sell it to you at 80% the marketplace market price, but you have to build something on it. You have to hear some requirements. You have to live here for a year or whatever the case. There's ways to structure it like they did with the homesteaders, and now you get economic activity. And people forget, you know, when you buy a property, if you get that land for maybe buying that – if let's for example, you're going to build a $300,000 home and the lot is $50,000. Maybe you can't afford that, but maybe if the lot was $20,000, maybe it pencils out for you, right? And so maybe you make the whole project go because you sold that property at $20,000 instead of $50,000, right? And so the state could potentially incentivize homes and all kinds of – and look at all the money that would flow into it when you build a house or you build a building. And so sometimes the – trying to get the most value – out of the specific thing can kill the whole deal, and you miss out on so much opportunity.
Wow. I've never seen it. I've never had it explained that way. That's huge. That's huge. So being steady and constantly doing something, they might not be huge moves, but being steady and being consistent in it could create something so huge that it will positively impact everybody in that area.
Oh, absolutely.
Gives opportunities, like you were talking about jobs and you know, infrastructure.
Well, so absolutely. I looked at building, I had 45 acres and I was going to split it into, you know, five or something different lots. Like I was going to make some 5-acre lots or something. So I thought, okay, I need to expand. I need to build a road here. And then I have these different lots and I can break them up, do the surveying cost, and build these different houses. Well, with the price of materials and the cost of labor and stuff, I'd looked at it and I said, okay, well, maybe if I build this house, I can make, you know, 30 grand on this house. Maybe I can make 50 on this one. And so I had planned out my little small development, but the borough in the, between the time when I had the idea, bought the land, and the time that I got ready to do it, the borough had changed rules on the requirements for their small subdivision. Oh. So they were now, even though it was outside of the fire service, they were going to make me build it to this higher fire service standard. So that way we could have a ladder truck and drive down and a cul-de-sac and turn around. So that was going to be the new build requirement. And so that added $100,000 to $200,000 on top of it. Well, if you split $150,000 across five lots, you got $30,000, you know, per house, right? Well, that basically took out the entire profit of the job. Mm-hmm. And so instead, I sold the 45 as two lots and two buildings where I was planning on having five homes. And so the community got three less homes because the increased like gravel requirement and width of the road in order to encompass this fire truck, which won't be out there for decades, right? Killed the project. And so sometimes you take the small wins, and if you let developers build, you know, an acceptable road, but more like a driveway road rather than a full subdivision road for those five homes, and you would have had cheaper homes in the community. But instead, there's less infrastructure. And so I think a huge part of getting government right and getting the economy growing is getting the small things right and being willing to not, you know, Warren Buffett talks about he doesn't sell and fight for every last penny. Yeah. He's willing to sell at 95 cents or 90 cents. He just makes sure he buys at 70 cents, right? You don't have to squeeze every last dime out of it.
That's good. Guys, we're going to cut the short break. Don't go anywhere because when we get back, we're going to pick up where we last left off.
Building Alaska will be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks is raving about the technology available for your home from the folks at Gen Solar. From the Tesla solar technology and their amazing sleek power walls, to the always dependable Generac system and EcoFlow battery systems, all for your home or business, all designed to keep your home safe from power outages while feeding power back to the grid and saving you time and money. See for yourself and get all of your questions answered in their amazing new showroom, 29 College Road, right across from the Bentley Mall. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Gen Solar.
Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week. Every hour, every day. Plus, 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio.
All right, well, welcome back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. Guys, again, for those who are just tuning in, this is Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. With me, I have Josh Church, who's been on the show for the last several weekends, and we've dived in so deep in so many conversations and so many things that are happening around the state. And right before the break, we were just, Josh was just sharing about how important it is to not pick every little penny. There's a reason why when there's a plan, right? When there's a plan, like we were just talking about this right before the break, people get frustrated when they see that Alaska wants to make this big move, right? There's a plan, there's a vision, there's a move, and then all of a sudden it comes to a halt. Well, not everybody who, is involved in, these big moves are going to see all these issues ahead of time. Sometimes they'll make a move. There's a contract. There's something that happens. They get locked in and then the borough doesn't approve or the state says something or the government comes in. There's so many things that could happen in between. And it's so important to keep keep your mind sane, right? Because a lot of people, they'll lose it when they start a project, when they start on something, and then they come to a halt, they come to a hurdle, or they come to an obstacle, and they're like, you know what? No, that's it. We're done. But it kind of goes back to what we've been talking about is, you got to have intention. You got to have intention with everything that you do. And, one of my favorite quotes in the Bible is, before you build something, consider the cost. A lot of these things that are happening have been years and years and sometimes decades of smart, intellectual, just people who have been involved and they know the ins and outs of the industry, who have been calculating the risks, finding out what is it going to cost? What is it going to look like long-term? If there's inflation, all right, what is the workforce going to look like? What is the material going to look like? What is the time frame? What is it going to look like? Are we going to get support? There's so many moving parts, but Josh, I want to pick up where you last left off right before the break. You were talking about Warren Buffett. He had a really good point.
Yeah, Warren Buffett, he's a very famous, very successful investor. And when he looks at buying a business, he looks at finding enough value in there where you have like a margin of safety. And so you think the company's worth $100. He tries to buy it at $60 or $70 or $75 or $80. And then he's selling it at $90 or $95. He's not trying to squeeze and wait till it's $100 and squeeze every last value out of it. He sells it at something where somebody else still feels like they got value, right? And I look at, you know, I've bought residential and commercial properties, and I look at it the same way. You try and find the value in there. And so you know, hey, I've got a plan. And with what I bought it for, with the cost, I can make this work. I can fix this up. And the reality is you can be smart and know, but you are taking a risk. There's always a risk, whether you're building the gas line or building the pipeline or buying a building or, you know, starting a property. You can have a great plan and be an expert, but it doesn't always work out that way. And so the two things that I take from that I'd like listeners to think about is – you can't, as a government, plan everything. And so you have to decentralize, right? And so part of that is you get land into private people's hands and they'll figure out the best uses of it. And you don't even realize how the sum of the parts is greater than them individually, right? Mm-hmm. And so a good example of that is there's a project to build up and strengthen the Alaska port. Okay, well, we can all understand why that's valuable. Almost all of everything that's in this room came through that port, right? Everything gets shipped up to Alaska, right? And it's very expensive to fly stuff in with planes, and we don't have rail. So everything comes in on the boats, right? Okay, that makes sense. Well, if you don't have that port and the capacity there, how are you going to expand the Ambler Road and do all these mines? They all go through there. So if you have a good working port, now you have the opportunity that you wouldn't have to expand these mines. Well, now if you expand these mines and there's more stuff being trucked out of there, and then you add you expand the shipping capacity, right? And now you've increased the ability. If you also have a gas line and cheap energy, now these three things work together. Where now, let's say you have cheap energy and you have a good shipping system. Mm. Now, all of a sudden, you can have manufacturing. You can't have manufacturing if you don't have good logistical shipping ability. Exactly. And if you don't have cheap energy. So those two things that are somewhat independent, energy and shipping, will allow for manufacturing to happen, right? And so this mine project expands the shipping capacity, right? And so we invest in the infrastructure of our port. So yes, it takes absolutely experts. And so like Dave Bronson, when he was mayor of Anchorage, he sort of fired the city. The city was in charge of managing that port project, and it was taking years and years, and they weren't making any progress. And so he subcontracted out and moved. Instead of the city being in charge, he moved in an engineering firm that was experts in it. They build ports all around the world. So you need experts, but you can't plan the whole economy. You have to get things out and let people do their thing, and then they start to organically work together to add value. And so I think that's the huge thing is look where you can add value. Look at a project that makes sense. But don't try and get all the value to yourself, you know, whether that's you and me doing a deal. We want this to be win-win for everybody, or whether that's the legislature and the state with their taxes. Look for ways to have enough value to get your project done, but also expand value to other people. I think there's a great opportunity. We didn't talk about this. This is a little bit of a rabbit hole, but this Ambler Road project, I'm super excited about because everything gets built by oil, like we talked about earlier, and mining, right? You know, the minerals that come out, that's what forms Western society. So this road is going to provide opportunity for the access to materials that we need, and it's also going to provide jobs. But you know what else, as like a side tangent benefit? Well, part of the reason I live up here is I actually enjoy the woods. I enjoy hunting and going out and getting away. And my dad surveyed a little cabin by the river years ago, and there was a tiny little trail you couldn't drive into. Well, now it's slowly gotten developed over the years, and you can drive into it pretty much all year round. And I'd like to have the opportunity with my kids like I did. I went when dad was taking me to his cabin back in the day and I was little, and it was like, are we going to get eaten by a bear walking on this trail? Well, you don't feel that way going to dad's cabin anymore. And this Ambler Road project, I think it's a 200-mile-long road. How about along the way, we sell some residential cabin lots to people. We sell some, you know, we open up trails where people can, there's ways the state can invest and make that resource not just be an industrial road. We can expand it a little bit and have the broader community sharing it. So if you're a hiker or a bird watcher or you like doing remote camping, maybe, you know, mile 50, there's a trail that butts off there and you can drive up there and explore another piece of Alaska that you wouldn't be able to access otherwise, right? And so I don't know. I'm excited for the future of Alaska, but we have to hit it right. And a huge part of it is not being greedy and looking for win-win and then allowing, like you said, experts to do their thing. And so that means not centrally planning everything, but getting land out and getting the taxes down where we invite industry to come in and making the environment friendly to entrepreneurs and builders and people who want to get involved, people who want to build and do things. You know, it does not work for all the decisions to be made in Juneau.
That's true. I mean, I hear that a lot. People are like, why is everything coming from Juneau? Why? So with your background and with the people that you're involved with, do you think that Alaska's on that track already to bigger and better things? Because you were talking about how the city got fired from that project.
Yeah.
There are changes. There are a lot of changes that are happening. But with the way things are going right now, would you say that we're on track or do you think we're getting there?
No, I think we have been trending in the wrong direction for a decade or so. But I feel like we're kind of on the precipice. There's so many good things that could happen. And there have been a few good things that happened in the last decade. But there's so many good things that are within reach, right? It's almost like we self-sabotage. You know, if you're trying to get in shape and then you really don't want to because there's a lot of work, you find like excuses, you find reasons to not go to the gym, you know? And I feel like that's Alaska. Like we are the most resource-rich place almost in the world, and we have just incredible amount of opportunity. And sometimes we just shoot ourselves in the foot. You know, we used to, I think it was in the 80s, we had some of the best schools in the country. There was the economy was booming at different points. There was a lot of things 20, 30 years ago that were a lot better in this state, but we are not that far from seeing an economic boom like Alaska has almost never seen, right? We just have to make wise decisions and and get people involved and have a little bit of hope. I think we are on the cusp, if we handle this right, of just a huge economic boom and a cultural shift. But we could easily go the other way if we're not careful.
So we got about a minute left, but real quick, Josh, what can we do as civilians, as normal people every day, you know, going to work every single day, 9 to 5 people, what can we do right now to help with this?
Yeah. Get involved in the next election for governor and Senate. We're having a midterm election. So in August, there'll be a vote. August 18th, you're going to decide who your governor is, who your lieutenant governor. That's the person in charge of division of elections. So if you care about elections, the governor is going to have a huge play in the development of these projects, and your senators and your both state and federal. If you get good people involved, pro-development people, people who are fresh blood and have some fire in their veins and want to make a change, then we're going to see something different. So get involved at every level of government, get out there and vote. But prior to voting, call up, get it connected with some of these teams and say, how can I help? I'll put up a yard sign. I'll donate some money. I'll go to your website. I'll call my friends. I'll host a meeting in your house. Get involved, not in politics, in civics, in government, in your community, right? Get involved in your community and your churches and start being the change you want to see.
That's good. Josh, thank you so much. We just came to an end of our show. Thank you so much for being here. These last few weeks were just amazing. So again, thank you for your time. We support you. And guys, for those who are tuning in, this is Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. We will see you guys next week.
You've been listening to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. Building Alaska is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.